Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Shine, you're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. Who are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. We got to talking yesterday about the subway employees out in Atlanta who were shot by a customer because there was too much mayonnaise on his sandwich. Yes. Unfortunately, both ladies were shot. And even more unfortunate, one lady lost her life to this, senseless crime. And, we just don't know. We don't know what's going to be the thing that tips the scales and just makes someone lose it out there. And here is one example of such a thing. We also talked about that crazy airline or airport or passenger on the Southwest Airlines who somehow airdropped explicit pictures or at least e picture down into several passenger's phone. Now, they still don't know how this happened because he was a complete stranger and you just don't have that level of access into someone else's phone, or at least we thought. And he thought that it was okay. He thought that it was funny. He thought that it was fun. Well, the Fed met him at the gate. He got off from this fun-filled life. Yeah. And what about the story about the 21-year-old Mexican singer who unfortunately lost her life to a domestic violent situation? Yes, she married a 79-year-old gentleman who just could not accept that it was divorce time. Yeah. She filed for divorce. She had all of her ducks in a row. All of the information was poured out in the divorce decree of how he had threatened her to kill her. Yes, he had threatened to kill her previously. How he had bruised up her face. Oh, yes. All of this was in the record. You know, we don't know why he invited her out to eat at a restaurant, but unfortunately that was their final argument. And he pulled out a gun and shot her right in a public restaurant. So, you know, if you're talking about some determination, he who made the threat earlier, and he was absolutely determined to make sure that she was not going to live out anything. No, he was going to die soon, and so was she. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, she thought she was safe in the restaurant. You know, he wouldn't go that far in a public place. Of course not. Well, those of us who have experienced, you know, some level of domestic violence, you know, we can tell a different story. Yeah, being in the public, you know, don't always matter. It sure doesn't. And we have our story, which we launched, you know, that launched the church folk story of the two young ladies who had been dating, who have been dating for 2 years, and somehow or another, they found out that both their moms had relations with the same man, and they could possibly be stepsisters. Yes, they could possibly have the same father. Well, for some reason, the dilemma is, should we get a DNA test to find out if we're really sisters? Are we really siblings? Well, they didn't want to seem to know. Well, we brought that into the church for a segment. And, you know, the question is, you know, what else do we go through where the writing's on the wall and we have the road that we should take right in front of us? But for some reason, we're just not there. Yeah, we just can't seem to get this thing together. And, you know, one of the points that was made was the fact that, you know, they started off, you're already dating one another, which the Bible says that you have no business doing. And now, you know, people just, you know, when you want to be wrong, you just want to be wrong. Have you ever seen a Christian like that or a person like that? You know, it's like they just want, they don't mind being wrong. And they don't mind doing things that compound the initial wrong. Yeah. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah, I've had a couple of them underneath my, underneath my wing for a while. But I have to tell you, you know, after a while, it really wears itself out. Yeah, it doesn't last very long. How could it? You know, it doesn't last very long. In other words, you do give up the fight. Yeah, you give up the fight. And, you know, you just throw up your hands. It just doesn't matter. And you give up. Yeah, because they're trying to right a wrong. And they're trying to right a wrong with another wrong. I mean, it's amazing. You know, people are amazing. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been at this people thing a long time. Yeah, I'm talking about just becoming intimately involved with people and, you know, that personal one-to-one time that I've had to take with people, you know, for a few decades now, you know, even in my secular career. And it amazes you how people function. It amazes you how people think. And, you know, I've been on my, I don't know, you know, some people would say my soapbox, but, you know, it has nothing to do with my soapbox. You know, it's something that God has illuminated before me and has charged me with, you know, bringing to the table, you know, how we as believers, or supposed believers, you know, we as believers, you know, it's one thing for the world to behave like this. But once you claim and declare that you belong to the King, It's just certain things you ain't got no business doing. And the things that people find fine is not fine at all. And unfortunately, they don't notice that it's destroying their life. Yeah. And I'm saying to myself, this very thing you love so much, this very thing you hold dear, this very thing that you can't seem to let go of, this very thing that is gauging what you do, how you do it, when you do it, this thing is taking you down. And what seems to be the problem? So like I said, you know, it's one thing. You know, these two young ladies, they're in the world. So, you know, they're going to be twisted. Because they don't have the spirit of the Lord that will, you know, shine the light on things and reroute them and, you know, bring back to their remembrance scripture. You know, all that great stuff the spirit of the Lord does for us. They don't have that. So it begs to ask, what's wrong with us? When we have all of this at our disposal, what happens to us that keeps us from doing the right thing, from making the right decision, from going in the right direction? Because, you know, if you look at people these days, you wonder if the Spirit of the Lord is really doing his job. You wonder. You think, well, the Spirit of the Lord is asleep. Yeah. But, you know, we serve a God that never sleeps nor slumbers. And which is why we're given the Spirit of the Lord. Because that's what resides in us 24 hours a day. It's active 24/7. You know, we ain't got to shake it, wake it up. We ain't got to stir it up. You know, we ain't got to knock on its door. You know, we don't have to ask if it's there. It's there. And as a matter of fact, that's what it does for us. It knocks on our door. It stirs us up. It asks, are we there? It helps us when we get to our low points. It helps us when the navigational system seems to be off in us. When the bells and whistles, like the railroad crossing, it is going bing, 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 and we just out of it. We don't hear it. We don't think about it. We don't see it. We don't. Yeah, it does its job. So that's one thing we really don't have to worry about. But, you know, I'm here to ask, what's going on, people? What seems to be the problem? Where is the defect? Yeah. So that's all I've been talking about all week long. You know, last week, the week before, and the week before, the month before. You know, God's really been shining his light on the Christian, quote unquote, for over a year here on the Top of the Pastor Step. You know, whatever we talk about, you know, it's highlighted when it comes to us. You know, so we've got to really get on our game and really get to the point where we really show that Jesus does exist in this world. And, you know, with the enemy running rampant, you know, it's really high time that we take that stand and we really show that we're out here and that God exists and that he does make a difference in your life and all that good stuff. And unfortunately, you know, this area, we have been falling on my hand. You have been falling, or they, or that believer set, you know, they've really fallen short. And, you know, God needs us to stand up, wake up, get ourselves together. So come on, let's do this thing. All right? So that's how we spend our Tuesday. That's how we spend our Tuesday morning. And today is, well, Wednesday. Yes, it is. We have already met the middle of the week. And, oh, I'm happy. Yes, I so am. And we're going to get our girl Vivian in a second. And she's going to give us our socially conscious segment. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that if you time with Pastor Steph, it's on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, we're back with another Safety Minute update. June is National Safety Month. The National Safety Council recognizes this month to raise awareness on what it takes to be safe for life. By doing this, the NSC hopes to reduce injuries in the workplace, on the road, and at home. Each week in June is a different safety topic. Week 1, stand ready to respond. Focus on CPR and AED training. Something can happen in seconds. Be sure you are prepared. Week 2, be healthy. Keep your prescriptions away from others and properly dispose of unused medication. Week 3, watch out for dangers. Fall hazards are all around you. Always keep an eye out and be sure to use proper fall protection. Week 4, share roads safely. Stay distraction free and keep your eyes on the road. Head over to our website at www.sct.us.com to see more information about these topics. And while you're there, take the pledge to be safe at work. SCT took the pledge. Will you?
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And if you're joining us, welcome. Welcome. It is Wow Wednesday over here. And we are excited because God has given us another day to get it right. Yeah, we have already met the middle of the week. And God has been so gracious to all of us that not only did we wake up, but we woke up in our right frame of mind, whether we are to minister or whether we are to listen. God has been great. So I celebrate and I welcome you to celebrate with us this morning. And I'm excited because we got our girlfriend Viv here, and she's going to give us our socially conscious segment. So come on, come on, come on. Let's sit back and let's get to listening to what Viv has got to say. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor?
I am well, thank you. And how are you, Vivian?
I'm well, thank you.
Oh, that's good. What you got for us this morning?
All righty, today on socially conscious, let's quickly take a look at the COVID numbers. Top 5 states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are California, still in that number one spot with 129,607 cases. That is an increase of over 24,000 cases since last week. Texas is number two with 77,288 cases. That is an increase of over 36,000 cases. Florida is number three with 463 cases. Excuse me. That is a decrease of over 65 cases since last week. Illinois is number four with 36,998 cases. That is an increase of over 8,000 cases. And number five is New York City once again with 23,036 cases. That is an increase of over 2,000 cases since last week's report. So as we can see, for the most part, regular numbers. California is still going crazy. Florida's seen a small decrease, and New York City is still in that top five, unfortunately. And in our next story, we have an update on the baby formula shortage. It has been a while since we last discussed this shortage. Last we heard, the government was airlifting formula from other countries, including Mexico, to the United States, and trying to get these baby formula packages to local stores. They didn't give us an exact date, but they were ensuring us that this shortage was coming to an end soon, quote unquote. But one parent is blowing the horn because she is a mother of a set of twin 6-month-old girls. And she's saying that this shortage is still going on, but no one is talking about it. So Quinn Shealy in Atlanta says she feels like she has a new full-time job, which is trying to find infant formula for her twin girls. Ms. Shealy says she does breastfeed, but she says she cannot produce nearly enough milk to feed them. Both girls are allergic to cow's milk and have other digestive issues that limit what they can eat. They are on a very specific formula as they were born premature, and again, they have those digestive issues. She says on average, she visits maybe 20 to 25 stores a day and even has store managers calling around to stores out of state to help her. The mom says the girl's pediatrician was able to get her a sample can, and she got two more from a mom on her Facebook group, but that's it. One mother in the group offered her breast milk, which she says she couldn't take because of the twins' allergies and for safety issues. So unfortunately, although it's not in the news as much nowadays, parents are still suffering due to this shortage. It has been 4 months since the shortage began when there was a recall on the baby formula because of some bacteria and some infants dying after having formula. They shut down some factories, they reopened them and shut them down again. And it's been 4 months since parents have been struggling to find baby formula. So please check on your friends with babies and infants and help out where you can. We also have another update on a story told here on Socially Conscious quite some time ago. We spoke about the increase of childhood hunger nationwide. Well, but a bit of good news on that topic. The government has aided in schools offering free lunch and breakfast to children 18 years and younger. According to reports, starting Tuesday, July 5th, so right after the holiday, and continuing until Friday, September 2nd, so right before schools open back up, meals will be provided free of charge for kids at select schools, pools, city parks, and food trucks. Free breakfast and lunch will be provided. No registration, no documentation, or identification is required. Breakfast at schools will be served from 8 a.m. to 9:15 a.m. And lunch in the schools will be available from 11 a.m. to 1:15 p.m. You can go to www.schools.nyc.gov/school-life/food /summer-meals to find locations near you where they are offering free breakfast and lunch. And I will leave this link on the Coach for Christian Facebook page for your convenience. And while we are on the topic of schools, as nearly 1 million students look forward to their summer vacation after the last day of school, school leaders and officials look ahead to the next school year and the hundreds of millions of dollars in school funding cuts that the system now faces. Officials say that the fiscal year, the budget has been signed that designates just under $31 billion for New York City public schools. And that amount is at least $215 million less than the schools received last year. So the leaders are saying this is not as bad as it could have been and should be, because it was calculated that a drop of over $370 million was needed in order to get things going properly. They're saying that schools won't be affected because some would be receiving more money as more students are being enrolled. So I don't know if it's just me, but what I hear is less money, but overly crowded classes. The good news, though, quote unquote good news, according to the leaders, is no teacher will lose their jobs. They're saying where schools lose teachers because of low enrollment, another school will have that said teacher at the top of their hiring list as their enrollment and thus their budget is growing. To me, it just sounded like a bunch of hogwash. What I hear is, here's the bad news, some more bad news, and then a little bit more bad news trying to be masked as good news to make us look good. The school system is definitely in shambles. Lastly, we are all reflecting on our Juneteenth celebrations and marveling in the first official year of Juneteenth being named an official federal holiday, one family in Pennsylvania is fighting for answers after authorities find Dante Jones dead in a local park. Authorities say Mr. Jones was found by a person who was walking along a trail at Wentz Run Park in Wicks Payne Township in Pennsylvania on June 17th at around 7:45 a.m. His death was initially ruled a suicide after the young man was found hanging from monkey bars in the park. His family says when they finally got the opportunity to view his body, they themselves noted bruises and scratches all over his body. They were denied an autopsy because it was ruled a suicide. And lastly, they say his body was too low to the ground to actually say he hung himself. And this is an interesting story, as Mr. Jones was found very close to a police station in a predominantly white neighborhood and so close to Juneteenth. They believe he might have been killed someplace else and was placed there to be found. Mr. Jones was an ex-military and he leaves behind three young children. So they're seeking answers. They're saying that there was some foul play and they want to know what happened to their family member, Mr. Jones. And now for our wild story of the week. After that story, I wanted to keep the wild story a little lighter. So there's this man whose video has gone viral after he recorded himself opening up a gift bag from his employers after 27 years of employment. He says he worked there. He worked at a Burger King for 27 years. And as a gift, he received one movie ticket, a Starbucks cup, a bag of Reese's Pieces, two pens, two rolls of Lifesavers, a lanyard, and some key rings. And people on the internet were disgusted at what this man received. His daughter then takes to social media to tell her father's story, which is that he took the job 27 years ago after he gained full custody of her and her sisters. And he kept the job because of the good health insurance that they were offering that got his daughters through their school years with full health coverage. So she started a GoFundMe page for her father, and she writes, quote, my dad continues to work here because though he looks young, he is coming up on retirement age, and leaving would cost him his retirement. In no way are we asking for money or is he expecting any money, but if anyone feels like blessing him, he would love to visit his grandchildren, end quote. She says she originally hoped to raise just $200 for a plane ticket for her dad to go visit her and his grandchildren, but the GoFundMe has reached over $200,000 as of late and is still growing as his story is being shared. So this man worked at this Burger King for 27 years. He says he never missed a day. So this is definitely a crazy ending to what appears to be an innocent story of a dedicated man. And Pastor Steph, I think this man beats you for your 4 years of never late and never missing a day of high school. Even with all your perfect attendance awards from elementary school through high school, you can't beat 27 years. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you'd like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on my Facebook. My username there is VivianBM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to all of you listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. I'm still proud 4 years, I'm sure. Oh, my goodness. When you were talking, that's the first thing I thought. If she bring it up, I'll kill her. And lo and behold, you brought it up. I was like, oh, no. Oh, my goodness. That was funny. Okay, wait. I need to get the goodie bag, the gift bag. I got a Starbucks cup. But what was the first thing you mentioned?
All right, hold on. Let me go back. So as a gift, he received one movie ticket,
Wait, I don't write that fast. I want to make sure I listen. Itemize everything. The movie ticket, the Starbucks cup.
Yeah, one movie ticket. Not even two, but one movie ticket, a Starbucks cup, a bag of Reese's Pieces.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, what else?
Two pens.
Okay.
Two rolls of Lifesavers.
Okay.
A lanyard.
Okay.
And some key rings.
All righty. Well, I didn't get this for my 4 years, so I'm already mad. But thanks for going over that for me. Vivian, what's going on with your numbers? Your COVID
numbers. My numbers.
Your COVID numbers. I was hoping that those numbers would be down and four of the states had increases. And I was like so disappointed because I thought that, you know, we would be coming down. But you know what I'm thinking? Maybe for the summer of it, we may get an increase. People are going to be moving around and, you know, gathering. And, you know, this is graduation time. So we're talking about everybody being in these graduations, graduation parties, and, you know, all of these restaurants and amusement parks and all the celebrations that's going on. So now when you think about it, you know, it doesn't surprise me as much. Yeah, I guess maybe, you know, when school starts back up in September, you know, things will, you know, go back down. But I want to say thank you for your good news this week, as always. Thank you so much. And if you can, stick around just in case we have some questions that only you can clarify. All right. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Vivian always seems to bang out some good stuff. Well, let's say good morning to our Elder Nakatisha, and so we can get to talking about this socially conscious news. Good morning, Elder Nakatisha.
Good morning. Good morning. Bless you. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. I am getting ready for my daughter's baby shower on Saturday. So running around, yeah, getting things together.
Wow. How exciting. How exciting. Are you going to find some milk to put in this gift bag?
You know something? That is something that I'm very concerned about. But we'll have to wait and see how God provides, right?
Amen. Amen. You know, he never leaves his people begging bread. Lacking,
that's
or
right,
begging bread. And we got, that's why we on the Lord's side, because we just don't know what we going to need. Oh, Elder Nashita.
That's right.
Did we just say that? We don't know what we're going to be in need of. You know, we just walk around so assured that we're going to have this and have that, and this is going to be automatic, and this is going to be automatic. And, yo, we don't know what we're going to be in need of. So what do you want to talk about this morning?
You know what? I want to know what happened to Mr. Jones. I want to know what happened to Mr. Jones, too. I think that there is, you know, some things that are suspicious about the story. And I do think that family deserves answers. I think, you know, all of the details that were identified, you know, that it was close to Juneteenth, you know, that perhaps they were making a statement to say, I don't care how much this country tries to acknowledge your existence, we're going to remind you that we're still the dominant culture. You know, and that this is still a possibility, you know. So I do think that deserves some more attention.
Wow. You know, you bring up such valid points. You know, again, like you know, you and Vivian pointed out in the news article, pointed out, you know, this is Juneteenth celebration. You know, this is a man is found, you know, like this, in this position, and they're putting it on suicide. And interestingly enough, Elder Natisha, they don't want to do an autopsy because it was considered a suicide. Really?
Right, yeah. No. How could it be considered a suicide before the family, right, has agreed to that? How do you get to determine what it
is? And since when don't they always double check to find out if there was really foul play?
Some foul play. That's right.
Right. Despite the fact that at an eye glance, it appears to be suicide. When all of a sudden you don't press your way to find out. So this is, I agree. You know, this is why it looks so suspicious. And yeah, you know, I'm impressed to find, you know, what they need to find out about their family member, because unless we fight, they're not going to fight. And you know,
you
what?
You better know it.
Also, that's right. You know, and looking at this being in a neighborhood from the other side of the fence, definitely raises your eyebrow, doesn't it?
It does. And like you said, we have to be our own advocates for this, these type of things, and for our family members.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, Elder Natisha. You know, we'll be back to continue our conversation. And we're going to say good morning to our Pastor Kim. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning, everyone. How are you all this morning?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you over there?
Oh, I should not complain. Should not complain.
Amen. What are we talking about this morning? What piques your interest, Pastor Kim?
Oh, I'm just still in awe about that man that retired out from Burger King.
Wait, Pastor Kim. We can't touch that story yet. That's our wild story. So anything before then is all yours. We're coming back to that wild story.
Okay, so where do we have the man from the Juneteenth and also with the COVID-19 and the baby milk?
Yes, you have the COVID-19, the baby milk. You've got the increase in the child hunger, and now they're opening up the schools and the pools to now feed the children 18 or the anyone 18 and younger. And
I think that's a blessing about them, you know, opening up, you know, the schools to be able to feed, you know, a greater multitude of people, because food is extremely high, you know. And when you think about the cost of food right now, it is, I mean, it used to be a time that you could go, I'm thinking back, you know, just so even last year when my daughter would give me her bridge card and I could go to the store and have all these bags. But if you go to the store now with a bridge card and talk about spending $100, you might have two bags.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, any extras, you know, that you get, you know, any meals that can help out, you know, toward your grocery bill or just being able to feed your children, I think it's a blessing. They need to be doing that and some, you know, because of the way that the economy is with gas, and it's like a famine. You know, you go to stores sometimes and they're out of different things. So, yeah, I think that's a blessing that they are not just even feeding the children that are in school, but, you know, even more of the family members. So I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely, Pastor Kim. And to piggyback off of what you said, Shantice and I went to the supermarket. Excuse me. Y'all should have seen my face. I said, okay, Shantice, we're going to be vegetarians, girl.
Oh.
I said, I know I can lose some weight now. I said, not one, you know, generally we don't buy meat from this particular store anyway. But, you know, every once in a while, Pastor Kim, we would grab, you know, a piece of meat from this particular store.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, Pastor Kim, I could not believe. And I said, Shantice, I can't. Not only, you know, I just refuse to buy, you know, food at those prices. But like you said, everything has not only increased, Pastor Kim, it's skyrocketed.
Oh, God, $20 for a pack of chicken wings?
Yes.
You know, chicken was always, if you could not get anything else, you could always get chicken at a reasonable price.
Yes. Yes.
But $20 for some wings?
Yes. Do you remember when we were growing up, ladies, when chicken wings was the thing that was the cheapest part of the chicken? Your mother always got chicken wings? Because that was the cheaper part of it. And now, like you said, I said, I'm not buying no four chicken wings for $12.
Unbelievable. Took my breath away.
We literally left out the store with no meat. Not nothing. I said, well, I guess I'll lose some weight now.
And then even like I used to get the thigh and leg quarters, they would be reasonable, but I'm gonna tell you something. When you look at them, they look like they on steroids because they so big. It's like what they shooting this chicken up with? You know, it makes you scared because you don't know what they put in this food. What y'all treating the chickens with? I just don't know. Hamburger. You could get a pack of hamburger, but that's going to probably cost you $15 or a pack of hamburger meat.
Yes. It is scary, ladies. I'm still asking Shantice, and when she comes on, y'all should have seen my face. Y'all, I just stood there, And we just walked, and I said, Shanti, you know, I have become a popcorn, I mean, crazy for popcorn lately. I said, well, at least the popcorn is still cheap. I guess that's what I'll be living off of. I was just shocked. I feel like, you know, what you described, Pastor Kim. The lady was like, well, do you want a bag? And I wanted to say, we can walk out with this in our
hands. And I think it's a lot of it is price gouging, you know, because they want to still blame everything on COVID, you know. And it's like, you know, we got to have food. You know, we got to have gas. So the things that you know that we need and that we have to have, those are the things that they are, you know, they're just overpricing. And it's so unfair. But you know what? Every time I have to go get gas or go grocery shopping, I just say, Lord, I thank you for, just providing, you know, the money that I need to be able to get it, even being off work. You know, God, he is so faithful. He is so faithful. And when he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, that word is so true. And I just thank him.
Absolutely. When I leave up out the store, I just say thank you, God, for paying the grocery bill, because there are people that just don't, you know, we're looking at it and we still come out the store with something. We still go in the store with something. And there are people, like you said, who, you know, they need this free breakfast and lunch just to make it through the day. Just to make it through the day. So definitely it's a blessing to, you know, to the families who really can benefit from these two free meals. And then they only really have to, you know, get that main meal, that dinner in. So thank God for everything. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Pastor Kim. Happy to hear your voice, because we know that, you know, if you start school, we won't be hearing from you possibly. So giving God thanks. She's traveling. We may not get to hear her. So I rejoice. Missing my girl, Tamika. But always in the wings, and never know when God's going to open up a door to give her a minute or two with us. So we'll just kindly wait for the Lord to do so. But in the interim, we always got that ram in the bush. Let's say good morning to Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Glad to hear that you're well. Before we start, tell the ladies what my face looked like when we were in the supermarket.
She looked like someone stole her shoe off her foot and she had to walk home with one shoe. She was all distraught.
Quite.
See, she doesn't go. I'm always the one that goes to the store. So for her, I'm used to seeing the prices. The whole time she calling me from another aisle. We in separate aisles. She goes, Shanti, we can't do this. I'm like, oh my gosh, how are you acting like you ain't ever been out the house? Oh my gosh! And it wasn't until she was just talking to you ladies that I realized it was really a state of shock, because I'm always the one going to the store. And then when I come back with nothing, she's like, "But you mean you ain't get such and such? Now you see why we haven't this instead of what you asked me to get." And you know, and as it was said, thank God, because if we really needed it, God has, you know, made it that we can get it. But it's just like, you know what? We can do without it today, because, you know, Saturday nights is our night to, like, you know, if we want to order out or something like that. So it was just like, okay, you know what? We just ain't going to get no meat tonight, because we know we're going to want Sunday dinner. We know we're going to want stuff during the week. So Saturday night is just pig out night, whatever it is we want. But, yeah, it's gotten really ridiculous out here.
All righty. Well, what is it before we get to our wow? story. What is it that you'd like to talk about?
I was going to talk about the formula since the other two ladies touched on the other two stories, but real quick, as Pastor Kim was speaking, what came to mind was, in addition to these schools, giving out the free lunch and breakfast, which is really good, these restaurants need to come up off this food that they be throwing in the garbage every night. Tons and tons of food that goes in the garbage that they will pretty much fire their employees if they take this free food home that's going to end up in the garbage anyway. Hmm. So I think that there needs to be someone who goes around to these jobs and, you know, picks up the food, and that could be the free dinner, you know, because you can't go to the restaurants during the day, you know. But let's say if you close at 10, at 8 o'clock, we're coming around, or 9 o'clock, we're coming around and we're getting this food, and then they go and drop it off to random homes, you know, or random jobs, because that was one of my biggest complaints at the last restaurant I worked at. They just put up a brand new strip mall full of stores, and I'm like, why don't y'all take this food y'all getting ready to throw in the garbage and go to this Burlington and go to this 99 cent store and go here and go there and give this food to these employees? I can guarantee you some of them don't even know how they're going to eat tonight. But they'd rather throw that food in the garbage. It's just so remedial to me. So I think in addition to that, there should be someone advocating for that as well. So that way families could have, they could be blessed with, all three meals. Yeah. You got schools giving you breakfast, lunch, and a lot of restaurants are giving you dinner.
That would be an added bonus and a definite blessing. Definite blessing. What do you want to say about the baby formula?
Well, when Vivian said that, I think she said one of the mom's co-workers offered her breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have looked at you like you were crazy. I thank you for the help, but no thank you. I'd rather take my chance with the formula. I don't know what you've been eating and doing. But I think it's like Elder and our teacher said, it is a bit concerning. But, you know, didn't you ladies speak on a few weeks ago, Pastor Steph, when you brought it up, you ladies were speaking on, there are alternatives possibly for, like, if you're able to use canned milk, like this mother said, her kids are allergic to cow milk. So can you use canned milk? Can you use something else? You know, I don't know what you can and cannot give. Like the general, you shouldn't give infants this, you know, regardless of the fact. You know, I'm not too sure on that. But aren't there other alternatives as to what you can give the babies so they can get the nutrients that they need outside of this formula, outside of the cow milk? Because the cow milk, they're starting to talk more and more about how that's not even good for us as adults. That's starting to come up again a lot more and more. But aren't there other, like, something else that can be given to the babies subsequently since, you know, there's this big shortage in, you know, this formula?
Well, I'm sure there is. You know, Elton Aitisha brought it up first when she said grandma used to, you know, give her, as Ernie would call it, pat milk, you know, evaporated milk, table syrup. And back then, they didn't drop no vitamins in no bottle. They put it in the bottle and did what they did, and we ate. And we were healthy. We didn't come out with no allergies, all kind of things. You know, I'm sure, mothers have been, and grandmas have been making it work for centuries. And the milk, you know, definitely. You know, I'm sure there's a doctor out here. I'm sure that there's a dietitian or a nutritionist out here that can suggest, you know, so here are the safe things that you can give your child. And listen, this is why prayer is the key, because when there's a shortage of anything, God is here to take care of the deficiency. Come on, ladies. You know what I'm talking about. You know, whether it's your that chicken wing that you wanted to buy that you can't get, whether, you know, you couldn't afford that. I remember when I met Pastor Charlotte. She said that she did not have her medicine. I think for health insurance or something, she didn't have the medicine that she needed. Isn't Pastor Charlotte with us today?
Mm-hmm. Yelling on the broadcast yesterday morning.
That was on, you know, that was a few years ago. So God is going to pick up the deficiency. And, you know, it's funny you brought that part up, Shanti, because that was going to be my question to you, ladies. You know, do you see yourself, you know, would you accept, you know, some other mother's breast milk? It's been done. But would you, if someone offered it to you, would you accept it? So, Shanti, thank you for joining us. You have definitely answered our question. Elder Natisha, would you accept, in the shortage of formula, you've got these two babies you're trying to feed, and, she's struggling. You know, people are throwing her can of milk here and there. But there's this mom who says, hey, you know, I'll offer up my breast milk. Would you accept it? Why or why not?
I probably would not accept it, but I do know that it's a whole thing that, you know, that's not foreign, that in other places, you know, there's a breast milk bank for mothers where you're
right.
able to kind of, you know, have the profile. You can see their diets and things of that nature. I just think that there are other alternatives, and I would not want to mix the chemistry, the DNA of my baby with another person's, right? Like that your breast milk is being developed from your construct, your physical nature, your DNA,
right.
your enzymes, right? And my baby is coming out of me, and who's to say that those two actually, you know, can cross-pollinate and
right.
be healthy? It can actually
right.
cause long-term issues, right?
Right?
When we start thinking about, you know, the oncogene, right, which is where we get the word oncology, which is where cancer is derived from. Like, that is something, HPV,
yeah.
right, that virus that comes from people engaging and swapping fluids and things of that nature. I wouldn't want to expose my baby to that. I think there are too many variables that are unsafe in that situation, you know. So I would not do it.
Okay. So you pretty much said what Shanti said. She just said it in a millennial style. the same thing. Pastor Kim, you know, would you see this as God's answer to your problem and accept the birth milk?
No, I don't. No, I wouldn't either because you know, you don't know what's in somebody's body, you know. I couldn't, you know, I feel like I'm my child's protector. I'm their covering, you know, and to just, that's like playing Russian roulette with their life. You know, you're taking a chance on, you know, using something that's coming out of their body. You know, you don't know what they have in their bloodstream or in their genes or what have you. You know, they could have HIV or anything, you know. I mean, and just to because you just don't know. And so to take that chance, I think I would much rather buy a can of pet milk and, you know, and trust that, and trust God with that before just using something else that's coming out of somebody else's body and putting it into my child. I just couldn't do it.
Okay. So, you know,
it's
some things could be a blessing and some things could be a curse. So
right.
I just, you know. Mm-hmm.
So you ladies are absolutely right. You know, there are too many things to consider. And we're already taking food that, you know, off the shelves that we don't know. We're taking dairy products we don't know. So, you know, you're already, you know, praying over everything that your baby's ingesting. So, you know, just more of a concern and more things to factor in. So I definitely understand and agree. Let's talk really quickly. We've got a couple of seconds to talk about this gift bag for this man who's dedicated his, you know, whole 27 years where he was never missed a day to this Burger King establishment, and he got a movie ticket, Starbucks cup, bag of Reese's Pieces, two pens, two rolls of lifesavers, key rings, and a lanyard. And Pastor Kim wanted to start talking about it, so we'll give you the first shot at this, Pastor Kim. What do you want to say about this gift bag?
I want to say that is a slap in the face and an insult. You know, I wouldn't have even received that. I mean, like she was saying, you couldn't even give me two movie tickets. I mean, to me, that sounds like that was a joke. You know, who does that? Who does that? You know, oh my goodness. You know what? It's just so unfair the way that people are not valued, you know, when you give your time and your loyalty, you know, to these employers and stuff. You know, I get it because, you know, just like when I left my job, you know, I'm not retiring, but when I left the job for DPS, you know, I felt so slighted, you know, because of the fact that I faithfully worked and throughout the pandemic, and for them to tell me that I cannot get my last check for the pandemic money that they were giving because I'm no longer there. But I was there while I was working,
wow,
you know, throughout the pandemic.
Wow.
What do you mean? Oh, because I only left 2 weeks before the school year ended. That's still my money.
Right.
But I said, you know what? Right. I'm like, you know what, Lord? You'll give it back to me. You'll give it back to me in more ways than Detroit Public School can, you know. And that's why we got to know that God is our Jehovah Jireh, our sole provider, because if you look for man to validate you, if you look for man to appreciate you, if you look for man to give you what you are truly worthy of, you'll be so disappointed.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely, Pastor Kim. Wow. Shanti, you know, what's your thought, you know, on putting 27 years into this establishment? And this, they had it wrapped up with a bow, made this big announcement and speech. And when you popped it open, that's what you saw.
I would want to know who went to the 99 cent store
and just picked up the first things they saw, and who went to the movie theater and knocked someone over the head and took their movie ticket to get to me.
This is like, I'd rather you fire me than you give me this. This was like so thoughtless and cruel. And I'd be like, and now how would you feel if I gave this to you? Not even on your anniversary. You wouldn't even have to be your anniversary for anything. Whether it's your birthday, your wedding anniversary, your job anniversary, whatever it is, how would you feel if you got a gift bag from 99 Cent Store and a movie ticket stub that someone dropped after they purchased it? That is just like, that's like when when they would tip you a dollar when you served them. It's just like, how do you, and one of the first things that came Mama Vivian was saying, talking about it was, you know, everyone, you know, like the daughter said, his daughter said, you know, he took the job to make sure he could support them, and he stayed on the job because it was great health benefits, and I'm pretty sure he wasn't even really thinking about his own health, but the health of his children. Okay, I know, God forbid, you know, something happens, they're covered, or just to go to regular doctor's appointments and visit, you know, the job will cover it. But this is what happens a lot of times when we invest all of our time into man's business, and especially if you're someone who God has opened the door and giving you that light bulb to say, I want you to venture off to do. I want you to start working for me, which here on earth, it looks like you may be working for yourself, but you're working for me. And not to say that this was his case, but a lot of times because of fear and laziness and all that, we're like, yeah, no, I'd rather stay here. This is what you'll get when you stay. Because this is the first time I've heard of some bogus fake gift because you know, you have an anniversary on the job. I mean, what I heard before was this bad. But this is what happens. There's no value in what you do. As long as you're helping them make their money, they couldn't even take the money you helped them make to really get you a real gift. That's pathetic.
Well, okay. Elder Nitesha, what's your thought for 27-year commemoration?
I'm sorry. I probably put a mute.
Oh.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I think that it is disheartening. And along the same lines of what Shantice was saying, I do think that this is why our ability to explore who God says we are is important, right? To be able to explore what God has called us to be and explore just our identity so that we aren't afraid to take risks. We aren't afraid to step out. We aren't afraid to identify what our giftings are, what our talents are, and then allow God to make room for them, right? The Bible says that our gifts make room for us. And that room means the first step in that is us identifying what our gifts are and seeing ourselves greater. You know what I mean? The truth is, and what Pastor Kim was saying, when you try to trust in man to fulfill your life, to help you to, you know, get to where you need to get to, this is the outcome of it. You put your faith and your trust in Burger King, right, based on health insurance, not realizing that God could have blessed you in a way that not only would you have had good health insurance, you would have been working for a company or working for yourself, and that would have provided you with everything you need. And so this is the reason why we have to be open to exploring who God says we are so that we can tap into who we can become and not be afraid to walk through open doors.
Amen, ladies. Absolutely. Absolutely, you know, like, you know, the example that Pastor Kim gave, you know, of the time to go and now, you know, you're going to find a way not to give me mine. Well, you know, we found that the Lord has multiplied what man refuses to give. And this is why I say this is why we need Jesus, because, you know, he's always our backup plan. And I don't mean that, you know, in a negative way. I mean that when the world fails us, he's already got us. He's already, there's that safety net, there's that reward that's always given. So absolutely, 27 years, that's 30 years, probably older than some of his kids, possibly, that he's, you know, he's given his time. You know, I want to jump into our main, thank you for indulging me in our socially conscious chatter, but I want to go into this Roe versus Wade, and I kind of held on to it for you ladies to talk about it, and I got a couple of questions, but I wanted to get out, you know, your initial feeling, your initial thought, what you, you know, what came to your mind when you heard it,
And we'll start with you, Elder Natisha.
Well, the first thing I did actually was because I had a couple of people reach out to me asking me what my thoughts are, what my opinions are, because I'm not one of those people that's going to immediately take the social media and, you know, just start jumping out there for applause and all that kind of stuff, saying stuff. And so because I don't do that, oftentimes I'll have people that will reach out and say, hey, what is your thought on this? And so that prompted me to actually go and get the history. So I listened to the original arguments from 1971 and from 1972. And then I came back and looked at the transcript of, you know, what the basis of this decision was on. What I discovered, right, was that the conversation around reversing Roe versus Wade was a conversation even in the original argument. The opposition was talking about the fact that he felt like the states, originally this began in Texas, and he felt like the states ought to have had the right to decide for themselves what type of regulations, restrictions were going to be placed on abortion. And the woman that was arguing for her clients pretty much utilized things that do not exist today. So, for example, her arguments were based on there not being maternity leave on jobs, right? Her argument was based on a woman having to leave work when she got pregnant, not having welfare, right? There was no welfare at that time. So there was a whole lot of restrictions around women that made it difficult for a woman once she got pregnant. But then the argument that came up in the original 1971 was the first time it was argued, and then it came up again in 1972. The argument, right, that caused pause for me was at what point of the process is this child covered under United States Constitution, which then led to the conversation of when is this child a human being? Is it at the point of gestation? Is it at the point of birth? Her argument, the one who won the rights for women, her argument was that the child was not considered a human until after it was born. Now, as a Christian, right? So this is how I had to do it that way in order to understand what my responsibility as a Christian. I am a Christian first, and then I go into all of these other areas, right? But as a Christian, what happens is I cannot co-sign with the idea that a child is only human once it is born, and that child is not covered under the United States Constitution. She was fighting based on the Ninth Amendment, the First Amendment, and the Fourth Amendment, which pretty much says, right, that these rights were applied to the mother, but not to the child. The gentleman who was fighting, right, in for abortion pretty much, or against abortion, was saying, well, wait a minute, this child, the decision for this mother was before she got pregnant. That's when her decision, that's when she had a decision to make. This decision should not be hers once the child is conceived at the point of gestation. Now, I have problems with that. But as a Christian, here's my final answer. I took you through all of that to say this. My final resolve to this is that I believe that according to the Word of God, when we read the Old Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament foretold about individuals that were going to come to fulfill purpose and going to fulfill promise. I cannot, as a Christian, say that a child, right, who began in the mind of God, which is what we believe, or what I believe as a Christian, who began in the mind of God is not considered to have rights or not considered human until after birth. That creates a problem for me as the Christian. But I also do understand the importance of the woman having the right to make her own
choice, and she will have to deal with God in response to that. So I think for us, right, those of us who are women and Christian, we find ourselves in a very interesting place. One, because we cannot agree with the women who fought for us, who got our original freedom to be able to make the choice. I can't agree with her. I can't agree with when I listen to this one. I still can't agree with them when they make a decision to decide at what point in the process is this baby a human. Is it at 27 weeks? Is it at, New York says it's 27 weeks. A woman can't have an abortion past 27 weeks because at that time a baby can feel and breathe and see and stuff like that. And so they have decided that this baby is human at 27. How dare we? I think we start dipping into places that we have no right that belongs and is reserved only for God. So that's my long answer. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That's why I said I waited till Wednesday to let you ladies kind of get out what you were thinking and what you felt. Pastor Kim, you know, what's your thought on this entire situation of this Roe versus Wade and the reversal and all of this that's going on?
In regards to the abortions?
The whole thing. What is your thought on everything in general? If you want to target,
you know,
part, it's up to you.
My thought on the whole general thing as far as abortion is, you know, I just feel like as women, we should have rights. And it's kind of I understand it on two different levels. You know, I understand the fact that it's a life, you know, and that we shouldn't take a life that God has given, you know, because the Bible does tell us, thou shalt not kill. But then I feel like that under some circumstances, like if a person is raped, a person that's molested and impregnated, you know, I get it why a person would not want to have to birth a child under those kind of circumstances. So, again, it goes back to us, you know, especially with us dealing with this being like the first year of celebrating freedom, you know, with Juneteenth being legalized as a holiday or whatever, you know, and if we are free now to vote, you know, it would even make sense for us to be free to make a choice what we would desire to do with our bodies, you know, and I don't really like to have to even get into debates about different certain things because, you know, everybody has entitlement, you know, especially when you're talking about your body. So for me, I'm thankful and grateful that I wasn't able to abort my child, you know, and I know that it was nobody but God that allowed for me to be able to birth her, you know, opposed to aborting her, because now I look at her and I say, wow, you know, had I aborted her, you know, I would not be blessed to be able to partake of all of the different things that I'm here to witness as far as her life, you know. So, you know, it's personal. I feel like it's a very personal topic.
Okay. Shati, what are your thoughts? Yeah. Any part of this entire topic?
Really quick before I give my thought, a comment just came in from a listener saying, send that child to adoption, give the child a chance in life, speaking on the rape cases.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Miss, for your comment. Thank you.
I was really happy that Elder Natisha gave that breakdown, because I didn't, not intentionally, but I did not take the time to sit and read or listen to any of the debating or anything. As far, I did hear from someone else, a male friend, that he knew they were going to lose because of the argument that was coming from the side that was against, you know, this law being passed. And he said just based on their, in his opinion, their ignorance and what they were saying, they were going to lose. So with Elder Natisha giving that breakdown, I kept hearing what he was saying. I was like, okay, now it makes sense. I personally, the first thing that came to mind for me was, again, how dare you? This is just another way for you guys to bully your way into dictating how someone lives their life. So you had everything else that was done before. Then you had the vaccine, COVID vaccine. And now this is another way for you to bully your way into this. Now, like Elder Natisha said, me personally as a Christian, I do not stand behind you just getting abortion. And when my other friend was talking to me about it, one of the things that popped in my head, I told him, I said, I think this is just a form of laziness. If I got pregnant June 2022 and I got an abortion today, and June 2023 I got pregnant and I get another abortion, most likely I'm going to the same clinic. So it should be like our doctor's records. When I go to the doctor, or when I go to the emergency room, that's in the system. They see Shantice Morrison has been here before for this. So if I go to the abortion clinic, and even if for whatever reason I travel and go to another one, it's already coming up in the system that, I'm sorry, Ms. Morrison, 12 months ago, you had an abortion. And it may sound crazy, but it's like, why not do something like that? Because there are a lot of women who are careless, and they don't care about getting pregnant because their mentality is, I'll just get rid of it. But why not try to do something like that, where you follow up on what these ladies are doing, and now it's like, okay, so you'll take the time to sit with a woman who wants to get her tubes tied, a woman who wants a breast reduction, whatever else, and they have to go through a certain period of time of making sure this is what they want to do, but you wouldn't take the time to do this. I just feel like it's just, This is what I feel, and this is what should go on with every woman, and now let's pass this law. And it's like, you cannot determine if Jesus does not bully his way into our lives. If God does not bully his way into our lives, okay, bully your opinion into our lives. And I really feel like that's what really stands out for me, whether it's right or wrong as a Christian, whether it's right or wrong if I was still living out here in these streets. You can't just wake up and say, you know what, I feel like every person shouldn't do this, and now I'm going to push for this to happen. That's just bogus to me.
Okay, okay. I need you to find a spot that we can hear you, because we did lose you for a minute, but we did get everything that you said. You know, I'm glad you clarified something, because I was over here scratching my head at what you said, but I'm glad you made some clarification regarding, you know, when a woman goes to get a breast reduction, when you go to get your tubes tied, there's a process. Like you said, you
right.
know, remember when I get my tubes tied, you couldn't get the tubal ligation before 6 months. And you had to sign mm-hmm. that you were of sound mind, and you know, this is what you wanted to do, and blah, blah, blah. And you could not be married, because your husband would have to stamp yes or no. So, you know, and you could only do this as a single woman, and blah, blah, blah. And then when you, the day, and then they schedule your date, and then on the day of, you still had to sign that you were of sound mind and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they offered you counseling and, you know, all kind of things. They asked you questions. And I had a male doctor, and he was asking me questions, because that's what they were charged to do when it came to this particular process. So I can appreciate
appreciate the suggestion of, you know what, if you find that this is a track record of this individual, mm-hmm. don't just, why not? No mm-hmm. assumption made. Why not talk? Why not? Because maybe then you could tip the scale, blah, 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 whatever. So I'm glad you kind of clarified that in your extended conversation. I do agree with all of you ladies that at the end of the day, it's a personal thing. You cannot speak into everyone's life. And I love the fact that, you know, as was said, you know, this is a relationship between you and God. Whether you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior or not, it's still between you and God at the end of the day. Whether we deem it right, fair, wrong, whatever it is, it's still between you and God. Here's something that I do want to ask. Do you think that this opens up a door now for us to dialogue with women differently and gives us another door to present Jesus? Is this another evangelistic opportunity with this particular decision being made? Has God now, because I always say, watch God, watch him. And mm-hmm. sometimes, through all of the smoke, through all the trees in the forest, you know, he's kind of coming through in many different ways. So I wanted to take the opportunity to ask you, ladies, do you think that this now opens up another door for us to witness, evangelize to women and men? Because women ain't getting it like this on their own. Pastor Kim, we'll start with you.
Yes, I do. I think it's a great opportunity, and we should always be looking for ways and opportunity that we can be able to administer the word of God to individuals. And you know, when you think about a life, you know. When you think about, like, everything that has been spoken thus far about the topic, you know, that lets us know how much there is that can be ministered, you know, especially when you have been through your own personal testimonies of it, you know. And I'm going to be honest, you know, when I was younger, I did have one before. But, you know, you think about what could that child could have been. You know, they could have been the next lawyer, the next mayor, the next bishop, you know. And so when you think about the fact that you got rid of a life, you know, it's something to consider. And like Shantice was saying, you know, to continue to do this, like the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You're taking the grace and the mercy of God for granted when you don't think enough of yourself to use some protection. You just, you know, you just play Russian roulette with your life. It's not nothing to take lightly when you go on laying down on a table. You know, who's to even say, I had a cousin that passed away on the table trying to get an abortion. She died. So it's nothing to play with. It's nothing to be playing with, you know. And we have to be have some kind of fear and reverence for God. And like you said, you know, yes, this will be a great opportunity to be able to tell and to be able to administer to somebody, because, you know, some people, I've known people that have gotten pregnant over and over and over again, just like people that have gotten abortions over and over and over again. And it's almost like you're addicted to the feeling of being impregnated. You know what I'm saying? So something mm-hmm. is going on the inside, because, you know, when you know better, you should do better. So you already know if you know,
if you play with fire, you're going to get burnt. So guess what? You know, if you use unprotected sex, you know, unprotected, if you're having unprotected sex, then you're going to get pregnant. So why would you keep doing that to your body? So something is wrong. So that's why you got to always get to the root of the problem, you know, and ask God, how, you know, can I effectively, you know, administer to this individual so that I can be an effective witness to be able to, you know, encourage this person, you know, through the word of God, through this life experience that they might be facing. You know, this might be the very time that somebody could get saved or give their life to Christ, you know, because they are godly sorry that they, you know, fell into this sin, you know, and are considering to make this sinful act. You know, it might be something that can make somebody, you know, turn from their wicked ways, you know, so that God can heal the land, you know, in an aspect of their life, of where they might be, you know, in their sin. So, yes, to answer the question, absolutely, this will be a great, great time and opportunity to be able to witness to one.
Okay.
Amen, amen. Shate, do you see this as, you know, another opportunity to, you know, to get, to minister to that that additional woman, a woman maybe that you would have never even spoken to, a woman that you may not have ever been able to identify with? Do you see this as an opening?
Absolutely. What Pastor Kim touched on is also one of the first things that popped in my mind. Keep your legs closed. Maybe now you keep your legs closed to the man. Maybe now you'll want to wear that condom, or you'll think twice before you sleep with the woman. You know, it definitely does give us the opportunity to now introduce or reintroduce God's morals and standards, especially when it comes to the sex topic. And a
We're losing you. We missed everything you said.
Hello.
Yeah. I heard everything up to the sex topic. That's after that, I didn't hear anything else.
Okay. Because especially now when you talk about the sex topic and everyone being so, you know, there's nothing wrong with casual sex, now it'll really make you think twice when you consider, I may really be stuck with this child and this other person, hating this other person for the rest of my life and probably hating this child for the rest of my life. And, you know, when you get into what these people do to their kids now, but it definitely does help us to expose God's standards and morals and how he sex and how he feels about how we're just casual about it, that now he could very well be saying, you want to still be casual about it?
We're losing you. We don't want to miss anything you're saying. We're losing you.
Pastor Steph?
Okay. Yeah, we didn't hear anything after. We didn't hear anything after. I hate to lose anything you all say, because it's such valuable words.
I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. We can hear you now.
Okay. Well, to quickly wrap it up, I was saying that it does help us to speak on God's standards and morals in a whole other way, because God could be possibly saying, you want to be so casual about this? I'm going to show you that there are some serious repercussions to it. So if it is, you really don't want this child, now you have this child. You really don't want this person in your life, you just wanted them for this time, but now you're really stuck with this person for the rest of your life. So he could very well be saying that, but it really does give us a better opportunity to say, oh, well, you want to know how God really feels about what you're doing? Now here's the time to say that. And they'll actually be listening now.
Okay. Thank you. Amen. Elder Natisha, you have the final word for today.
You know, do you see this as another opportunity? Again, like I said to Shanice and Pastor Kim, you know, we wouldn't have spoken to, you know, this young lady possibly or this young man possibly. But do you see this as an additional way, a reason for us to now, you know, give the word of God?
Absolutely. You know, my sisters both spoke eloquently in regards to, you know, being able to have a conversation to say, hey, be a little bit more careful with your decision, with your decisions and with your life and who you're partnering with, right? So there is that aspect of it. But I think that there's a broader aspect as well that we get to not only talk to women who find themselves in that predicament, but we get to talk to the general population at large, because what we also understand is that those who are making these decisions have agendas behind these decisions. I do not believe that the overturning of this decision is just about this one thing. I think that there are going to be others. There are going to be other areas of infringement upon people's freedoms and restrictions, right? If we're reading, again, if we're reading the Bible, as we had taught Revelation, we understand the idea of the one world order. We understand what the Bible tells us we are headed toward. And I think these decisions that we're seeing that are being passed down that are infringement upon our rights is just the beginning. And I think this presents an opportunity for us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ like never before, to be able to bring awareness to the fact that Jesus is coming soon, right? Like Pastor Kim always says, these are our last and evil days. Well, we're seeing the signs, the evidence of these last and evil days, and we're seeing it not just in human behavior, but we're seeing it in the infringement of our rights. And the infringement, the restrictions that are being placed around us. And so this presents a unique opportunity to spread globally the gospel of Jesus, to say, this is not the time for you to not know him. This is not the time for you to not choose him. This is the time for you to recognize that Jesus is your only help, that Jesus is your only source. This is the time for you to recognize that if you're going to be free, there's going to come a time where your only freedom is going to be in Jesus. So choose him this day. So I believe that this presents an opportunity, and that every pastor would be awake, that every minister would be awake, that every prophet would be awake, and we would begin to spread the gospel of Jesus, because he is, in fact, soon to come.
Amen, 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 ladies. As always, a wonderful job, but provoking conversation, and I thank you so much for all that you have contributed. I want you to hold on, because I have an announcement. If you can, please hold on, because I have an announcement to make that will kind of put a stamp on everything that you all have said. So thank you. You've been a blessing for this morning, and I pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. Blessings, ladies. Thank have a blessed day.
Thank you. All righty. Oh, you know what time it is. It's our Wednesday, and we're winding down, but we can't close out before we get our Faith Over Fear segment from our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well, thank you. Giving God thanks. Giving God thanks for all of us today. I want to give you an opportunity to, you know, talk on this Roe versus Wade, and where there could possibly be a fear, but faith has to overpower. It could come from either side, whether it's the decision makers, whether it's the people who are actually getting the procedures done, this world, wherever angle you want to come from, but this faith over fear issue today.
Amen. While the ladies was talking, I was thinking about my own life and where that I also had not just one, but a few. I was forced because I was young and my mother would not allow me to carry that baby. It bothered me for a while, and it became, as of, I think it was Shanti's, as it became as something for me to do. Instead of me going to protect myself, because my mother would not allow me to take anything, but I had went in that direction. When I started looking back over my life, it tormented me for a very long time. And I had nobody to talk to. I had nobody to be able to sit down with me to discuss, you know, that I was wrong about it, because the people that I was hanging with, that was something that they did. And as when I came to Christ as an adult, that was something that I always fell on my knees for and asking God for forgiveness over and over and over. And one of the things that I never understood is why in the church, there are so many teenagers in the church where that the people, you see how the boys are laying on the girls and how the girls are laying on the boys, but we never had that discussion. We never took the kids out and took time out as the ministers in the gospel, or even just making sessions where that the children are able to pour out to. Then when I was in a position, I started to talk to the children, and where that I found of them being fearful of their parents. So I gave my own testimony to them, and I let them know that you have to put your trust in somebody. We sit in the church, and we tell everyone to put our trust in God, but there are times when we need to have that trust in that person where that you are able to guide me, where that you're able to show me. When you were saying about, is it time for us to witness to the others? Absolutely, because they're so young that are having sex now. They are 9-year-olds that are having sex now. And we have to get to the place where that fear, we're able to cast down that fear, because we know that he doesn't give us the spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. But if we don't be able to help our children, because when we come to in the kingdom, we should be able to come together and being able to say something. One of the others is that we don't get a chance to, because the parents, some parents don't want you to say nothing to their children. So they're fearful because they're talking to their friends, and their friends are leading them in the wrong direction as well. So you're making a choice on your own, or you're being pressured by someone, or you're either just following the crowd. So I say to the young women and the men and the little boys and the little girls that when you start feeling some kind of way, entrust yourself into someone. Take it to God. Let God show you who to speak to. Let God be able, even amongst yourself, you can come together and form a little group where that you're able to go out and have these hard conversations. I'm feeling like this. I don't know what this is. Because a lot of times when people are not, don't know what they're doing, we just do anything. So I say to you, please be able to think about it in the ministries. Be able to sit there. Everybody don't have somebody to speak to. Everybody makes decisions because they're so scared and so fearful, they don't know what to do. Start some kind of a ministry where that is open policy of them being able to speak, but where that you will keep it in-house. You have to get to that place of keeping it in-house. We have so much that we are carrying. And it's not only the children. There are some adults that's sitting in there that's doing the same thing. So I say to you, just think about it, pray about it, give it to God, and be able to be directed, and he will lead you to where that you need. I wish I had somebody, but I didn't. Tell your testimony. Be able to walk with them and let them know that you will not leave them, even when it's over, that you will still check in with them and being able to embrace them no matter what. We don't judge nobody. We don't shame nobody. And that's what I have for you on today.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene. Thank you again, you and Pastor Kim, for, you know, your transparency, you know, as this Due Time crew does so well. Just the transparency everyone has always laid out just for the sake of blessing others. So thank you so much today. We pray you have a blessed day.
You all do the same, Sagash.
All righty. So let's get this benediction. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. That's 2 Corinthians 13:11. You know, I said I wanted you all to hold on if you could, because I had an announcement, and I discovered something a few weeks ago, and I was like, wow, look at God. And I asked the question, you know, do you see this as an opportunity to minister to a young lady or a young man that you may not have ever spoken to or even had the opportunity to speak to, but because of this reversal and because they may find themselves gridlocked, you know, like you ladies have said, you know, once you've done the deed, now there's no out like it used to be. It kind of shifts who you are and how you go forward, and now you got to talk to somebody, blah, blah, blah. And I said to myself when I came across this discovery, and some of you may find it minor, but I don't. And God had to really deal with me on a couple of things, and yesterday it came across my mind again. And, you know, when we all started, none of us thought, you know, that we would be where we are now in broadcasting. You know, some of us on 5 days, some of us on four, some of us on one, and you know, the numbers are well. The numbers are good. And, you know, there are days we skyrocket, you know, out of nowhere. You know, we'll get 600 and something hits in one day. And it's not for that one episode. It's throughout. You know, yesterday after we had 302 episodes. And we have to make sure, and I said this the other day, and this is one of the reasons why I say what I say about making sure whatever we say, we nail it, because we don't have that opportunity to get it back once it's said. And we're speaking to a very vulnerable world out here, and we don't know who's listening with the listener. How many, you know, I know, you know, when Shawnee cooks, she plays this guy on YouTube, and he's talking, and you can hear it in the background. You don't know who's hearing in the background. And we are on audible.com. Hooray! That is God. I didn't put us in audible.com. Do you realize that your ministry is available to the audio podcast listener on audible.com. When you got on here, just because Pastor Steph asked, you know, can you help us out? Or, you know, can you do this? Can you do that? I need you to come on. You know, I need you to give your testimony. Do you realize how big audible.com is? And not one of us signed up for that. None of us. So I bring this up today because here we are today, and I ask the question, do you think this is another ministry op? Well, guess what? Whatever you just said got plugged into not only iHeart, not only Apple, iTunes and Apple Podcasts, not just on Spotify, not just on Amazon Prime Podcasts,
not just on Google and wherever else we may be, now Audible. So someone who doesn't even tap into those platforms and they go for the audio in audible.com, we are there. We are there. God put us there. Whatever you said today, whatever you said in those 302 episodes is available to this world where you thought you were coming on and talking and ministering to a few. God has presented us to this world. So every single thing we say matters. Nothing we say is minor. Nothing we say is light. Your ministry, your transparency, your testimony is available to the world in a major way, in a major way. I can't even tell you when we got there. All I know is I pulled up something one day, and I saw it, and I kind of swept, and I had to go back and say, wait a minute. Okay, maybe I'm reading it wrong. And I went back, and I was like, wait a minute, no. Whoa. God. Now, I have an idea as to how we got there, but, again, we had not anticipated that. You know, I think about how many times Pastor Tim said every single time, you know, it was like, okay, I can't do it today. I can't do it today. You know, there's no time for it today. Or I'm too busy today. And the Lord just sent her here. And she said, but the Lord kept telling me I had to come on. I think about Elder Night Tisha, who said that there were times she may not have wanted to be on, but she pressed her way. I think about the time where Pastor KL may have, you know, he just wasn't available, but he pressed his way. Tamika pressed her way. Pastor Ed pressed his way. Shantice pressed her way. Pastor Charlotte pressed her way. Brother Al pressed her way. AJ, Mr. AJ pressed his way. Anybody in this due time crew, Dwayne, pressed his way. We had no idea that God was setting us up for this, and none of us thought, none of us could have imagined that we would be on a platform that big from its due time. Now, I don't know what you thought about what you were doing in your private ministry, but none of us thought that being on one time a day, I'm sorry, one day a week, would the doors would open up like that. And I keep saying to each and every one of you, this is your ministry, your personal ministry that's going out there as well. For those of you who have those prayers, you know, Pastor Kim is on Saturday mornings, and Elder Natisha's on Wednesday mornings, and you know, for all of you who have your private prayer groups and things like that, you know, this is another door that's opened up, and we can't imagine what doors are being opened up just from us being obedient, just from our obedience. So I celebrate today that, you know, here you are. You're thinking, I'm just ministering to a few. You know, I said God had to deal with me with something because there was something I kept seeing and something that I kept feeling slighted about. And I just remember being there, and every time I think about it, I just kept remembering, wow, really? And the Lord said, what you're looking at, he really had to deal with me, and I heard the word so clearly. He said, you're looking at that, and I've presented you to the world. I've presented you to the world. You don't worry about what man does or doesn't do, because I have presented you to the world. And I had no idea that we were out there like that. And it makes me, when I said on Monday again, and I just had that conversation on Sunday, and I said, I'm real sensitive to the things we say to in the open. I'm real sensitive because I don't think we realize that the stuff we say kind of in that passe mode and that cavalier, and you know, I don't mean it that way, but that's the way it comes up. No, we got to make sure that what we say, we nail it.
because we're going to have another opportunity to go grab that person back and say, well, let me tell you what I really meant. We've got to nail this thing, and we've got to make sure that we're on point. And that's why our reading and our studying and our prayers have got to be on point, because God is presenting not me alone, but by you riding this train week to week, he's presented you to the world. Presented you to the world. So I want to congratulate you, my due time crew, for just being who God has called you to be. And now he's opened up doors for your personal ministry, for this ministerial train that we're on here Monday through Friday and on Sunday nights. And amazing, amazing. And now it explained why the numbers went up, because we're on another platform, because we're available to more people. I couldn't understand. I was like, oh, I mean, I don't think I'm questioning it, because I praise God. And I got up this morning and I kept saying, God, I praise you. Last night, I kept saying, God, I praise you. God, I praise you. God, I praise you. Because, you know, when you think that you're nothing, when you think you're just a little piece of something, when you think that it's insignificant, when you think that, you know, I'm over in my corner and I'm down and I'm depressed and I'm not where I feel I should be, and people aren't hearing me the way I wanted them to hear, and that's not necessarily my thing, but you get what I'm saying. When we're down and we're heavy and we're thinking God's not listening, and God, you know, I'm out here doing this and I don't see no results, I'm letting you know the results are out here. Couldn't understand where these surges were coming from. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, 500, 600, 700, 800 in a day. I'm like, whoa. But when I go back, it's, again, it's spread out. It's for the day. So I don't know. Remember, we got 302 episodes. So that means Elder Natisha has been on with me twice independently. Pastor Kim has been on with me twice independently. Pastor Sharlin had her domestic violence episode with me privately. I mean, this is what people are listening to. They're listening to your testimony. They're listening to your witnessing. So let's make sure that whenever we open up our mouth, we say what God has to say. We're not putting in our little spin, and we're not, you know, just throwing stuff out there. That's been a big concern of mine. You know, I used to be on a Zoom, and I mean, they had tons of people on every week because it was during the pandemic, and people from other countries would be on. And some of the stuff that would drop in the room, I'm like, oh. And I was always the one where I know they were sick of Stephanie. I know they were sick of me. I know they were sick of me, because I used to always say, listen, we got to be careful about what we say in here, because we don't know if that one person, you know, if somebody got invited by Sister So-and-so and she'll never be back again. And now whatever you dropped in this room, you're not going to have an opportunity to go back and make it right. You're not going to have an opportunity to explain, oh, let me tell you what I really meant. You've got to nail this thing. So let's make sure we do what we need to do at time. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, my ladies, for always coming through big time for us. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us today and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life, to make sure that you nail this thing, that you deepen your relationship with the Lord, because later it's not promised to us.
Until tomorrow, God spares our life. Where is Therapeutic Thursday? I love you.